Welcome to GMT Radio Hour, a show that is not on the radio and is under an hour. Today, we have Catherine Ferrante from KCST here to talk a little bit more about what the group has been up to. Catherine uses she, her, they, them pronouns and is a senior at Barnard studying English and theater. A lot of English and theater majors we've had so far on this podcast. And is currently a co-president of KCST. I almost said KFC. Very, very different. And she's worked with KCST in the past as director, actor, and board member, but they're most drawn to directing and hopes to pursue it as a career once COVID lets go of her cold and icy grasp on large group gatherings. Don't we all miss theater? Miss those riser changes? Thanks for being here, Catherine.
My pleasure.
Tell us a couple other things about you.
I would say most important about me, I am a Cancer sun, Cancer moon, Capricorn rising, but my Leo Mercury and Leo Venus are very strong, and I have a Scorpio Mars. I am an Enneagram type wing, type 4 wing 5. I am an ENFP. Do I have any other personality tests I know? I don't think so. I would say that my favorite board game is most certainly, no, not most certainly. I would say it's variable, but right now I'm really into Bananagrams.
Oh, Bananagrams is a classic.
Right, that it's like Scrabble, class. But without needing all the knowledge that Scrabble requires.
Yeah,
it's yeah. good. I don't know if it's a board game. There's not really a board. There's just kind of tiles.
It's just like whatever surface you end up playing on is your board.
Just as, I'm going to count that.
Yeah.
I can truly only make three-letter words in Bananagrams or Scrabble, so you never want to play with me, or you always want to play with me because
and then win.
So you
start out making like a small section of like two-letter words, just so I have a ton of letters, and then I'm really coming out with my strategy on GMT Radio, and then I destroy it, and then I start with like a really big word in the middle, and then pull off from that for the rest of the game. Highly recommend.
Yeah. Wow. That is a good strategy. I always get I lose really badly. My roommate is like killer at it and he beats me every time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why don't you start by telling us what KCST has been up to this semester or even in general since all of this started in March and we went remote?
Yeah. We kind of changed our plan like during the summer. So I'm just going to start there. What we've been doing is we basically decided to scrap the idea of trying to do a whole show because at that point we had no idea if we were getting a Zoom Pro account. Honestly, we still have no idea if we're getting a Zoom Pro account. And we just didn't want to kind of ask anybody to put in that much time. When everything is kind of so variable right now. I was honestly like, I don't know if I can give that much time. I don't want to make anyone else do that. So we kind of broke it down into kind of taking some of our other traditions that we do outside of our big shows and kind of make those like the central focus of what we were doing this semester. So every December, we usually do this thing called Shake Scenes, which is this super, super short rehearsal period, I think like 2 weeks. Where people can, usually people who haven't directed before get to direct a short scene and then actors sign up and it's, you know, you don't have to be off book. It's just like a staged reading and there's food and it's like a super low key kind of relaxed thing. So we're doing that twice over the course of the semester and doing two scene showcases, the second of which is on December 4th. Woohoo, come. We have three scenes. And so we widened it to be early modern Greek or early modern referential. So it can be any of the types of plays that we normally produce instead of just being Shakespeare, because we still wanted to have there be the option to do those as well. And then in between those, we did a playwriting festival for adaptations of Shakespeare works, which was also fun. And that ended in like a reading for the playwrights. So we basically just boiled it down into really, really small little chunks to make it accessible and easy to sign up for. Yeah, that's kind of been our semester. Oh, and I forgot, we've been doing like small social events scattered throughout as well. And like a workshop series for people to like learn stuff and get together, which has been really fun. People have been putting so much effort into their presentations. It's insane. I've learned so much. I've learned so much about things I have no knowledge in. Anyway, it's been very fun.
That's amazing. Well, I have two follow-up questions on that before we switch over, and then Allie can ask the follow-ups. But so what was your favorite adaptation, the play adaptation, and what was your favorite workshop so far?
I was actually unable to go to the play adaptations. Okay. Which was very sad. It was on Halloween. I was very sad. I could not go. And what was the other question? You said my favorite scene?
Favorite workshops.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, that's difficult. I think it's a tie. The first one we did, Grace Clifford did one on archetypes in Greek plays. And they did so much work, but they focused on this thing that they really like called the sacrificial cycle. And like in the family of the Oresteia, like detailing how all of the, like this one messed up killing basically like ended up like getting repeated through the generations until like the final, basically like blessing from the gods that like the cycle is over. And it was fascinating. I literally like took a class and like was tested on the Oresteia, and I did not know about this. Oh, wow. So it was very exciting. And then Elsa Chung did a workshop on Shakespeare in film, and like she is interested in like all the things I am not interested in Shakespeare and film. And so it was so cool to learn. She really focused on Ron, which is a Kurosawa adaptation of King Lear. And we watched clips from that, which were so beautiful. I'd only ever seen the adaptation of Macbeth that Kurosawa did. I had never seen Ron, so that was really beautiful. And we talked about this like cyberpunk Hamlet. That was it. Shocking, absolutely shocking. So it was very fun. She made this flowchart that was like, if you like these plays and you like these types of films, then you should watch this adaptation. And it's like this whole flowchart of what adaptation for Shakespeare you should watch. So it was super, super fun. Those are my favorites.
The flowchart sounds incredible. Like, I want that.
Yeah. Literally. It is saved on my computer. I took a screen.
Please do. Okay. I would love it. Yeah. So I have a question a bit. I know I was wondering if you've sort of been watching other sort of performances that have been going on virtually, and like what your experience of those have been, how you think it, you know, differs from live performances. What's your take on that?
what's my take on Zoom theater? Is a
yes, a contentious question, I know, but go off.
I think that Zoom theater is, I would say, not the future of the medium as a whole. I don't think it's going to last, but I think that it's a great tool to fill the creative hole left by the lack of real theater. And I think it serves a purpose of doing what you can in the present moment and not, you know, stagnating in what has been lost. And I think it serves the purpose of bringing creatives together in a way that theater normally does. But I don't think that the medium itself does what theater often aims to do. So I think I've seen a lot of great Zoom productions, but I think almost all of them could have benefited from being live in some way. And I think I can hold at the same time grieving what a play could have been while recognizing the merits that it is or that it has by being on Zoom. I don't know. I've seen some really creative things done with Zoom, things I would have never thought of. And I think I've seen some really interesting screen compositions. But I guess this is bleeding into one of the other questions. But I think it is neither film nor theater, which makes it very difficult to work with. And I think, I don't know, I've seen powerful and moving pieces over Zoom, but I just don't think it has the same emotional impact as it does when it's physically embodied in a live space. But c'est la vie. And alongside that, I'm still gonna make Zoom theater while I can't make real theater. It's just oh God, I can't wait for real theater to be back, you know?
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. Yeah.
I always feel I agree with you. I also feel I want to be the devil's advocate and be but what is real theater?
What?
Yes. I'm a translation theater major. I have to ask that question. What is real theater to you?
Well, I'm actually a theater concentration of the English major. Don't get me wrong. What does theater mean to me? Oh, we're in this headspace now. I think that theater is an inherently, I think that what happens in a theater is
should I say hippy dippy?
I don't know. I think that there is in some way some, I think if you're a theater, if you're going into theater, it's a little bit of it. And there is a physical exchange of energy between bodies, I think, that happens in a theater space that while it can be mimicked over Zoom, and I think that a lot, of communication can happen through a screen. Obviously, I think that film is a great medium. I used to be a film major, whole other thing. I think that what makes theater so special is that you are existing in the same physical time and space as this whole other world. And that tension, I think, just doesn't happen over Zoom, because you can turn the screen is only one small portion of your world, and they are in another physical space in behind their screen. So there are then multiple physical spaces that are coalescing inside of the screen space. And so while yes, there still can be an exchange between the screen space and the audience member, I think it just, there are too many levels of distance for the same amount of energy exchange to actually happen inside of the space. And I think that theater and filming, translate through two different audiovisual languages, and neither of them can be recreated fully with Zoom theater. And I think that that's why the two have a different, both are emotionally impactful and exchange in a different way, but Zoom does neither. It does something else. And I don't think it's been mastered yet. I mean, it's only been alive for a fucking year, so okay, whatever. I'm not mad about that. But either it hasn't been mastered yet, that this language hasn't been uncovered, or it doesn't serve as well as either of those two forms. So that's kind of my, I guess, deconstruction, but I would love to hear from others about what theater means to them.
Yeah. That's a really good point. I also think, for me at least, in my experience of Zoom theater, that there's this sort of urge to be both real theater and film technology, and people get pulled in both directions, and you end up with something that is sometimes trying to be two different things at once, which is, hard to create something when you're moving in two different directions.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about this because I feel like some of the Zoom theater feels like I'm watching a Twitch stream that just has multiple people on it, but that also feels more like a talk show. And so defining this weird sort of I don't know, the in-between space, because I feel like Zoom theater strikes somewhere between like film and Twitch, and like, it's not, I don't feel like I associate it with theater other than it's theater people doing it. And I think one of the things that I like the most about what you're saying is that like I think of theater as community, because I'm backstage, I'm making new friends, new acquaintances. Like when I was working professionally, all of my professional contacts, we end up all being friends because we all hang out together all the time. So it works the same as it does in student theater. And so that's where I think of community. But I think what I really love about what you're saying is there's even a communal nature with the audience when you're in the same space. And I don't think I've thought of it in quite that language before. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that, I think that you're also very right. It's really, it's getting pulled in a lot of different directions, and it is just kind of theater people doing plays over FaceTime in the end.
Yeah. or Skype, is it too soon, Ellie?
Oh my God. Things have changed. Skype is off.
Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah. And I think also, I mean, fundamentally, I think one thing that film is so like not known for, I mean, is based on or is created by, and then they create meaning through montage and editing. I mean, like, which is not at all what Zoom does. So then it's like, how do you use the film language when you don't have editing, which is where the film language comes from, is I think also very difficult. Mm-hmm. So this is just another, this is not quite on the same thing, but a little addendum to kind of the problem I think that Zoom theater faces. Yeah. So that's my hippy dippy energy exchange. Hardcore held belief.
I love it. Well, I guess one other thing that I thought a lot about this semester, and it seems like most groups have figured out how to maintain community with, you know, these, you're doing workshops and smaller gatherings and that sort of thing. And I talked to Bacante, and they've like officially incorporated bigs and littles into their system, which is adorable. So I guess my question really is like, how are you reaching out or finding first years or new students to campus when we're not on campus? Because I feel like, you know, when I was a first year, finding community was a nightmare. So I can't imagine what they're going through now. And so how are you finding new folks to join KCST?
Oh my God, yes. That has been, I mean, that was like a huge, huge concern, especially at the beginning of the semester. I was like, oh my gosh, like, am I gonna like, it's like literally my job as president to like continue this legacy. Like, am I gonna kill KCST? Like, is COVID gonna kill KCST? Oh my God, I can't do this. And I'm gonna be honest, a huge leg up, honestly, was like doing NSOP and being on the committee, because then a lot of people saw my face and knew who I was, and I like plugged KCST and said I was doing theater, and a lot of people from NSOP a lot more than I expected, like like reached out to me personally and like asked me questions about what we were doing and like what I was doing on campus. So that was like a huge, huge leg up for my group personally. And we have like a lot of first years that did our first round of Shake Scenes and even came back for the second round, which is so nice, so amazing. Oh, I love our first years so much. Like, so that was a huge thing. Another thing was like plugging it over on the Facebook groups. Like we had a like meet and greet with the board just to like, hey, like say hello, ask us questions. And like, I think plugging that, we had a handful of people who came to that. And it was really nice because it was someone asked so moving. Someone asked like, why KCST out of like all these different things? And like all of like the other people who had come, even some members from the troupe who weren't on the board, like came to hang out and like, they just like talked about like the community aspect and like what, like just like what KCST kind of meant to them. And I feel like that was, I don't know, a lot of, I think especially important for first years to hear that like this is like an actual space of community. So I'm gonna be honest, I think that helped us too. I owe that to my troop members who did that for me. But yeah, I think that kind of first round, getting people in when they were really searching for things to do. And, you know, it's harder now. Who wants to sign up for something now? But I don't. but I mean, that beginning, really getting that push and really being like, this is a space of community. We had like a cast party for Shake Scenes, I think, which kind of like solidified like the cast aspect and making sure that like finding first years and making sure that they know that this is like a place that will support them as a community and not just like as a rehearsal space, I think is important. But yeah, I guess just doing that initial publicity was kind of like a rush. Makes sense. Get that on everything, on all of our
people. We want a lot of fans during Bear With Us, so.
I will be honest, you're right. Like that did it for us. Like I could probably, if I asked, trace like half of our first years back to Bear With Us. Not that it's literally just a guess. If they're hearing this, you can prove me wrong. But like, full send.
Yeah.
I also, yeah, they're like, this person can talk to a screen. Crazy. I literally talked to the chat. It was fun. I had a lot of fun. I had so much fun talking to the chat.
It was great.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun. But yeah, I do think that like the publicity of my face, as dumb as that sounds, like literally, it's like gives myself way too much credit. But I think just like I don't know, like someone who like very obviously was a first year with like, or not a first year, like an upperclassman with like a high position in like a group that like they wanted to join. I feel like it's a good place to start when searching for community in what seems like a very nebulous space. So I will not lie. It definitely was definitely probably part of it. Yeah.
No, I think that's, I feel like there definitely was a big rush from first years at the beginning of the semester. That I mean, because I'm just thinking, like, you know, starting out and you're so excited to go to school and then you're not there. And, you know, I think a lot of people were really motivated to search those communities out and just like having you, a person, someone, upperclassman, as you said, is like visible and like being like, hey, this community exists, come join us. And people are like, great, love that. Let's get connected with the communities on campus.
Yeah, I think the community Unscripteds during NSOP, I think really helped with that. All the ones that I attended were like really packed with students wanting to find community. So I think that also, I would say probably not only for my group, but for a lot, was probably very integral to getting first years to know what was up. But yeah, I just hope they get to see like what we really do one day, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is good, but you don't know. You don't know what it's like. It
could be so much better.
They don't know.
But they'll have a community before they get to campus. And it's right. I think maybe that's kind of exciting because you're not also experiencing, you know, a new city and new living conditions. So it's like slightly babier steps. And not that I'm saying it's good because I think it's still very much not ideal. But I think, you know, maybe there's some element of, okay, well, at least this part isn't new. And, you know. What will be new is the awkward silences when everyone actually gets to meet in person for the first time. And you're like, I know you so well, but I also
have never seen
you. Have a body.
Like literally I was talking with people about like, oh my God, like, I don't know how tall this person is. Like in person, like who knows? They could be really short. They could be taller than me. Like just all these things that's like
that's
in person.
Oh my God. I don't know how tall so many of these people are.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
The times that we live in. Any other questions or thoughts from either of you that we should talk about? Plug your socials.
I should do that. Follow us on Instagram at King's Crown Shakespeare. That's what it is. For us, personally. We have a Facebook page that is King's Crown Shakespeare Troupe. Yep, there's that one too. And then our website, which I haven't updated in a while, it's my job, is also kingscrownshakespeare.org. But I put big updates about what we'll be doing for next semester there as well. And I think there's a spot to sign up for our listserv on the website. And if there's not, then I should definitely get on that and do that at some point before next semester. I should definitely do that. I know how to use Squarespace. I'm so good at it. And I'm really understanding everything I'm doing. I'm a woman in STEM. those are the key ones. I send out a weekly email also to the listserv, updating people on stuff. And then I put the big ones on the website. You can view all of our production history there. And then Instagram and Facebook are good. All of our like small events happen through Facebook. And then the like signups and stuff get plugged on our Instagram. So it's good to be on all of them, but meh.
Yeah. Now you know where to find them.
I would say several is a good spot to be in. Yeah.
Two-thirds maybe.
Yeah. Two-thirds is good. You don't need it. Yeah, two-thirds.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here.
And it's been great to talk to you.
Yeah.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for letting me plug my philosophy about theater. You know, MFA programs, see this? Big brain maneuvers right here.
Yeah. That in your grad app.
Truly a pleasure podcast.
Yes.
Put the link to it in my resume, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But no, thank you so much for having me. Like, really so much fun to chit-chat about theater all the time. This is the community that I really do miss, you know?
Thank you all for listening to this week of GMT Radio Hour. Our episodes come out Fridays at noon every week. Catch us there. Thank you.